You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. That's from the very end of the passage from Isaiah. And it's the culmination of a beautiful set of images about who we become in God's eyes. Highly celebratory. And I want to focus in on that in Isaiah and a little bit in Galatians as well. This passage from Isaiah comes from chapter 61, which is very distinctly what a lot of scholars call third Isaiah. Isaiah, as you may know, is 66 chapters long. 1 through 39 were predominantly written 750 BC or so, the first Isaiah. 40 through 54 were written during the time of the exile, predominantly 2nd Isaiah, around 550. And then 3rd Isaiah is 450. The people have returned from exile and are back in Jerusalem celebrating what God has done for them. And this is definitely one of those passages of maybe 450 BC, 3rd Isaiah. And let's take a look at it together in your bulletin insert. And keep in mind as you read this that this is you and this is me. And the reason it pops up now is because we are in a feast time, in a celebration time where we are thankful for what God has already done for us. Now, before I go into the image itself, you'll see it's very primal. The first one is a wedding image. And as I was thinking about this, I was remembering the way that Chloe and I first got to see each other on our wedding day. And of course, there are different rituals about this. For some, you don't see each other until you actually walk into the church. But for a variety of reasons, we decided to fudge that a little bit. And we got married at her high school, the Kate School in Carpinteria, which is up on a hill at the chapel. And before we actually went to the chapel, we arranged so that behind some hedges, right on the cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean, it was arranged that Chloe would go out there and then I would be led as the groom to go and see her, and we would have a private moment. And it was everything I could have hoped. I can still see very clearly what Chloe's wedding dress looked like. It was, no surprise, stunning. She had a necklace on that had belonged to her mother. Her hair just looked perfect, and one of life's great memories indeed. And I hope many of you have a similar memory from a wedding day or something equivalent. So bearing that in mind, let's take a look at this Isaiah passage and keep in mind beauty, fertility, and confidence, all gifts of the Lord. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. I had a little garland right here. It had a little sprig of, it was something purple and something yellow, because those were sort of our themes. And Chloe, as I mentioned, had the beautiful jewelry of her mom's on. So the point is, great dignity clothed by God, each one of us. Part of what I love about this passage, too, is that unlike some other passages which are powerful and beautiful, it's not all male or all female. It's both. So either one of us can kind of enter into what God is presenting here. And now listen, it shifts to fertility. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Again, a sign of great confidence, of fertility, of be fruitful and multiply. Again, celebrating God's gifts. And then, listen to this image of confidence. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nation shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory. You know, if you've been coming here for 10 years, maybe once a year or every other year, I quote that great scene from Cider House Rules where Michael Caine wishes the kids in the orphanage good night. There were several scenes like this. Good night, you princes of Maine, you kings of New England. And these are orphans, right? And it's this reminder of their royalty, of their strength, of their dignity. And that's what I would love for us to internalize here at St. Paul's. Holy cow. These are the blessings of God. These are the blessings of being the people of God. These are the blessings of being the people who read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest this story and are capable of manifesting it for the world, but very specifically for the 250,000 people here in Marin County. We are princes and princesses, according to this passage. Now, I want to shift a little bit here to an image that we are also children. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. A new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. Now, on this day, right after Christmas, I want to shift our attention then to the reading from Galatians. If you could flip your bulletin insert and take a look at... Oh, you know what? Yeah, they messed with me here. But it still works. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. Because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. All right, I'll stop there. I'm going to keep going in a second. But the idea is, and this comes through in a whole bunch of different ways, is that when we are in Christ, and the sign of that is what? When do you know when you're in Christ? When is the outward and visible sign of the inward and spiritual grace that we have been adopted as children of God? It's baptism. That's the sign that you have been adopted into the body of Christ, that you've been adopted as a child of God. When you are adopted as a child of God, something made capable by the mystery that in the fullness of time, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in Jesus Christ. So we've been adopted. Not only are we these beautiful brides and grooms, according to Isaiah, now we're no longer slaves, but we are children. And what does that allow us to do? Well, it allows us to do something we do together every Sunday, and that I hope you do at some point every day, just to pray a very special prayer, the one that Jesus taught us. It says here in Paul, because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And this is the note I want to leave you on. Abba, Father. The prayer that Jesus taught us is the one that we say, Our Father who art in heaven. And I love saying it that way with those dignified words. But I also hope that we can also bear in mind that the original Aramaic is not nearly so lofty as Our Father who art in heaven. The original word and the one that Jesus taught is much closer to, oh, Daddy. It's Daddy. It's Daddy. And so part of what we are invited to do as children of God, now adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ, through our baptism, is that we are invited to imagine that when we say Our Father, we are saying, oh, Daddy, and that God is saying back, yes, my beloved child. So as we drop into silence during this feasting season of Christmas, I invite you to try and hear that word of God. Yes, my beloved child.